I'd like to encourage all of us who were not at church on Thursday night to get on the church website, www.acocg.org, and listen to Thursday night's lesson. Because in a matter of speaking, I am going to pick up from where I left off on Thursday night. On Thursday night, we started talking about our mission as Christians. Why are we on this earth? Why do we even exist? Obviously, for us to find answers to that, we got to go to the scriptures. Amen. And we talked about how when you and I look at the Bible starts with creation in Genesis chapter 1 and ends with the new creation in Revelation 21 and 22. Right after creation, we have the fall that came about when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3. And then Genesis 3 basically to Revelation 20 is talking about redemption. How God is trying to redeem his creation. When we fell, when we sinned, God chose not to destroy his creation. Instead, he decided to redeem it. Are you with me? And you and I are part of that redemption. And one day, there's going to be a new creation. A new Jerusalem. Where you and I, as God's children, will get a chance to spend eternity. Amen? And so I want to encourage you, if you are not there on Thursday night, to get on the website and listen to that lesson. Genesis chapter 12, beginning verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife, Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring, to your seed, I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And we'll stop there for now. God chose to redeem his creation after the fall. He could have destroyed it. As a matter of fact, he had done so through the flood in Genesis 6. You know the story? Only Noah and his family survived. And God said, "You know what? I will never destroy mankind like that again." And he put a rainbow in the sky to remind himself, not that he's going to forget, amen, that he will never do that again as far as destroying the earth by water. And at this point, God decided to choose this man to bring about the redemption that we're talking about. I've titled this morning's lesson, "A Blessing to the Nations." A blessing to the nations. Because again, we're asking the question, who are we and why are we here? What are we doing on this earth? God created us in his image. And hopefully by the time we're done today, you will come to understand in a better way that God, through Abraham, that you and I are God's blessing. And God has blessed us and called us into his kingdom so that you and I can be a blessing to others. That's what the story is about. Hopefully by the time we're done today, you'll see that very clearly. The word bless and blessing is used 5 times in 3 short passages. The root word is baruch. That's what it looks like in Hebrew. Okay? You know in Hebrew, they write from left. Sorry. From right to left. We write in English from left to right. Okay? "I will bless them that bless thee, and him that curses thee I will curse. This is basically Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 that we just read. They will bless themselves in you, all the families of the earth, and goes on. I just took a little piece of it to show you. But that's what it looks like in Hebrew. Are you with me? Okay? God says, you know what? He looked at Abraham. He says, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That's an amazing promise. You and I are as a result of that promise. Can I get an amen? Amen. Here we are, thousands of years later. Here's what we're experiencing. God told Abraham, I will bless all the peoples on earth through you. Write these references down. Genesis 18, 18. Genesis 22, 18. Genesis 26, verse 4. And Genesis 28, 14. You see that language being used several times in all those passages I just referenced. That all peoples on earth were to be blessed through Abraham. One nation is chosen, but all nations will be the beneficiaries of that choice. Are you with me? God chose Abraham. By blessing Abraham, he has become the agent of blessing to others and to all of us and to all of mankind. Amen? Amen. Notice what it says in verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring, to your seed, I will give this land. Okay? What seed is he talking about? He's talking about the Israelites. You know, Abraham had a lot of kids. He had many seeds, but God was specifically talking about this one seed that he was going to give them, that portion of land in the Middle East. The amazing thing to me is that Abraham took God at his word. Remember, when God made this promise to him, he had no kids. As a matter of fact, his wife Sarai could not have kids. And the Bible tells us that she had passed the age of childbearing. And God says, you know what? You're going to be the father of many nations. As a matter of fact, that's what happens in Genesis chapter 17. Go ahead and turn there very quickly. In Genesis 17, when Abram was 99 years old, the Bible says, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And you know, right after that, if you continue reading, it talks about how, you know, this is now going to be the sign between me and you. And he asked that all the males in Abraham's household, including Abraham, be circumcised. Are you with me? Because of time, I'm not going to read all that stuff. But again, several years goes by. And God says, you know what? I'm going to change your name, Abram, which means exalted father, to Abraham, which means father of many. Amen? To fulfill the promise. Again, remember, when he made this promise in Genesis 17, Sarah was not even pregnant yet. Again, you can read the story in the next chapter where God says, as a matter of fact, this time next time I'm going to return to you and Sarah's going to have a son. And she's laughing. And God says, why are you laughing? And Sarah basically lied and said, no, I didn't lie. God says, yes, you laughed. Is anything too hard for God? Again, it's amazing that, you know, when God says something, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. You see, a lot of times as Christians, when the Bible promises us different things about God and tells us different things, but what do we do? Instead of taking God at his word, we start looking around our circumstances. And we start trying to figure out how God is going to make this come about. Abraham took God at his word. And as a result, The Bible tells us that it was credited to him as righteousness. It's enough that God says something. That's it. When God says it, it settles it. That ought to settle it for you. That ought to settle it for me. Are you with me? That yes, I may not know how God is going to work this thing about, but he's going to bring it about. Why? Because he's God. He's sovereign. He's all powerful. And he will never allow any of his words to fall to the ground. That is the God that you and I call on a daily basis. That is the God that we're serving every day. This is where our confidence needs to come from. That when God says something, he's going to do it. He has the power and the ability to carry it out. If he's not going to keep his word, he will not alter it. Are you with me? And God says, you know what? Basically, go and be a blessing, and all nations will be blessed through you. The first time we see that word, actually, let me put it up here for you, okay? The word is Baruch, okay? Sometimes people spell it Barak, all right? It appears 289 times in the Old Testament, 62 times in Genesis, all right? The first time we see that word being used is in Genesis chapter 1 on day 5. After God created the fish and the birds, the Bible says he blessed them and told them to go and multiply. On day 6, God created us, humans. And again, the Bible says he blessed us and told us to go multiply. Obviously, on day 7, God blessed day 7 and called it the Sabbath. And basically told you and I to rest one day a week so that we don't kill ourselves working. Okay? That's basically what he was saying. Because you and I know, we will just keep on working, until your body says, you know what, knock it off. And then next thing you know, you get sick. That's your body talking to you and me, saying, I'm tired. Could you give me a break? Are you with me? But it's very interesting that the first two blessings are immediately followed by the instruction to multiply and to fill the seas and the earth. There is therefore a fruitfulness component to blessing from the beginning of the Bible throughout. When that word is used, there is an idea of multiplication, of spreading out, of an increase, of an abundance. This is what God wants for all the nations of the world. That's what you and I are a part of today. Like I started talking about on Thursday night, believe me, you didn't become a Christian by accident. God, through the promise he made to Abraham, is trying to bless you and is blessing you so that you and I, in turn, can turn around and become a blessing to the nations, a blessing to other people. It can't stop with us. It should never stop with us. Remember, God made the blessing to Abraham. What if he hadn't believed God? What if he decided, nah, I'm not going to move? Remember when God told him to move? He didn't even tell him where he was going. It wasn't as if God says, okay, I want you to move to New York. At least you know where New York is. God just says, you know, get on I-85 North. Where are we going, Lord? I'll tell you when we get there. That was basically what happened. And the Bible says he got up and he left. What if he never left? The story will read very differently. Are you with me? You see, there's a faith component that you and I have got to trust the creator of the universe. That he wants what is best for us and what is best for our lives. That even though we don't see everything, we don't understand everything, when we know his word, when we see it, we simply need to obey it. And God will reveal things to you as you and I go along. Amen? That's the way it is designed to work. And that's the reason why we see the covenant of Abraham throughout the Bible. You know, it's amazing. In Genesis 12, God says, you know what? I will make your name great. Nations will come from you, and all the earth will be blessed through you. It is no accident that when we get to Revelation 9, talking about the great multitude in heaven, we see every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language. is as a result of this promise. Are you with me? You know, I know this is not part of the lesson, but I'm going to say it anyhow. You know, we all came from one human being. Adam and Eve. Okay, that's your great, 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 great ancestor. All right? You say, what color were they? I don't know. I haven't the foggiest idea. The Bible doesn't tell us. Look at the person sitting next to you, or in front of you, or behind you. Okay? Guess what? We all got the same daddy. Who's your daddy? Adam. Now, he may look different. His hair may look different. For some of us, maybe there's no hair. That's okay. But we all came from the same place. The Bible says there's no Jew, there's no Greek. We are all one in Christ because you and I were all created in God's image. If you think about it, you know, I mean, when you look at little kids, kids don't understand the concept of somebody looks different from them. Believe me, bigotry and prejudice and racism is something that's learned. You're not born with it naturally. But see, why would we discriminate against each other if we all got the same papa? Are you with me? Yeah, we may sound different. We may come from different parts of the world. But we all came from the same place. If you think about it, racism, prejudice, bigotry, whatever, it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. And you've heard me say this before. You know, people that are prejudiced, I don't believe they're going to be in heaven. They're not going to like it anyhow. Have you thought about that? If you're one of these, well, I don't like this kind of people. You know, I just want to be with my own kind. Let me tell you something. Your own kind is not going to be there. You better go read your Bible. All nations will be there. Amen? Amen? That's exciting to me. And that's what we're trying to do here. In terms of, you know, this is just a little glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. You've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. It's worth repeating. When we get to the other side, believe me, there's not going to be a black quarter. Or an African-American quarter. Or a Caucasian quarter. Or an Asian quarter. Ain't that happening? I mean, a lot of us in here, we're mixed. I mean, Paul Wong, he's got some Chinese blood in him. He's got some Jamaican blood in him. I mean, a lot of us in here, we're mixed people. You know, a lot of us that are white, you're not from America. In terms of your ancestors. You came from over the pond, like they say in England. At some point, you know, some great-great-great-great-grandfather came across over the boat, and you got here. Are you with me? Okay? The Americans are the Native Americans. Some of you got some of that blood in you. But y'all, what's my point? We all got the same papa. Amen? But God, in his wisdom, this is the way he decided to do it. It's awesome to be in the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? You know, it's amazing though. Again, because of time, you got to write these references down. When God blesses you, people around you, the blessing starts to rub off on them. You see it in Laban's life being enriched by God's blessing on Jacob in Genesis chapter 30. Even Joseph in Potiphar's house as a slave. Potiphar is blessed through the presence of Joseph in his household. Amen. See, that's what happens when you hang around God's children. All of a sudden, some of the blessings that they experience and they're experiencing, you know, will kind of flow into your lap also. Right. Amen? Amen? We've been blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. Right. You and I today, we understand the concept of paying it forward. you know, somebody has done a good deed to you, don't let it stop there. Find somebody else to be a blessing to. The reason, one of the primary reasons God saved us, so that we can save others. You've heard me say this so many times. We're beggars who found bread. And we're pleading with other people where to find the same bread. That's all Christianity is, in my opinion. It's not rocket science. But you see, God has kept his promise, and he's still keeping that promise that he made to Abraham. Abraham left his family, and he went to the land that God would later show him. And the Bible tells us, as a result, it was credited to him as righteousness. And that's why you see him being mentioned throughout the Bible. You know, obviously, Jesus appears most times in the scriptures. 1,274 times, that name is mentioned. David, 1,085 times. Abraham, 318 times. That's a lot of times to be talking about somebody over and over again. And again, outside of Jesus, this is my most favorite character in the entire scriptures. I love Abraham. If you guys would permit me, I can talk about this for the next 5 years. And I still would not reach the end of it. But I'm not going to do that. Okay? You know, it's no wonder that the Gospel of Matthew, many scholars believe, was written to a Jewish audience, starts with Abraham. Because again, Matthew is talking to Jews primarily. And that's why that genealogy starts right there. And it starts with Abraham. If you go look at the genealogy in Luke, that one goes all the way back to Adam. Are you with me? The Gospel of Luke, for instance, mentions Abraham in 4 significant incidents. Remember the crippled lady in Luke 13? When Jesus healed her, what did he say? He called her a daughter of Abraham. In Luke 16, remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? When he died, the Bible says the poor man was taken to Abraham's side, Abraham's bosom. In Luke 19, you remember the short guy, Zacchaeus, the tax collector? When he said, I'm going to stay at your house today, and they brought him down, and he went over to the house. Zacchaeus grabbed all his sinful friends, and Jesus is out there, and he says, you know what, today salvation has come to this house. Why? Because he too is the son of Abraham. Okay? That's why these things are in the scriptures. Over and over again, that's what we see. Now let's look at Romans chapter 4. And this is where I'm going to end today. Romans chapter 4. Hopefully, you'll go study this stuff out some more on your own. Because all I can do is kind of whet your appetite, and then you got to go study this stuff out. Amen? In Romans chapter 4, again, talking about Abraham, is in verse 16, it says, therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Not only to those who are the law, but also who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that are not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Now this is the part I like. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, on whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. You You see, Abraham took God at his word. Remember, at the time when God made the promises, he couldn't have any kids. Sarah had gone past menopause. I mean, think about it. God could have picked anybody to bring that promise about. He said, you know what? I'm going to make it hard on myself. I'm going to show these guys who I am. You know, if he had just taken a couple, you know, who were fertile, then you and I may question this. Then, no. I'm going to pick somebody that's past the age of childbearing. And I'm going to do it when the man is 100 years old. Sarah, the Bible tells us, was 90 when she gave birth to Isaac. How many 90-year-old women do you have, do you know, giving birth? But that's what the Almighty did. And through him, Isaac became the father of Jacob and the 12 patriarchs, and the story goes on. But you and I, because of that promise that was made in Genesis 12, you and I are a result of that promise. You and I are a blessing to the nations. Do you see that? And so when you wake up and you're wondering, well, why am I really here? What am I meant to be doing here? God created you as a blessing to the nations through Abraham, through that promise, so that we can continue to be a blessing to other people. That's why we're here. That's what this is all about. Again, because of time, I can't go into all this stuff. Remember, in Genesis 17, he received the sign of circumcision, saying, you know what? Through this, it will be the mark that you are my people. Guess what? We also have a circumcision in the New Testament. It's not a physical circumcision, praise God. It's a spiritual one. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It says, all of us, as a matter of fact, let's read it. I'm not going to say it. Let's read it. Colossians chapter 2. As a matter of fact, back up to verse 11. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, in him, talking about Jesus, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by who? By Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. You see, sometimes people want to argue today that baptism is just a symbol, or baptism is just a sign, or baptism is a work. No. You don't get it. The Bible says baptism is a work of Christ. That it's like a physical circumcision where God cuts off our sinful nature and gives us his Holy Spirit. That's what it talks about in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This is not rocket science. We also have undergone a circumcision, a spiritual one, when we repented of our sins and were buried in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. You see, at baptism, God does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. It's by grace. It's a free gift. You and I decide to repent. That's something you do. You decide to make Jesus Lord. That is something you do. The fact that we submit ourselves to the act doesn't mean we've earned anything. Amen? And that's why God has saved us, so that we can go help other people. That's exciting to me. The question is, are we going to bless the nations by talking to other people about it? Like I said on Thursday night, we are the story. It's not as if we're sitting in a theater and you guys are affected as I'm watching a play. You are part of the play. You are in the play. You are the play. The way God has set this thing up. We are not here by accident. You know, the kids have a song that they love to sing in Kids Kingdom. And it goes something like this.
Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Allah, right hand. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right hand, left hand. Father Abraham, you know the song, had many sons. Don't be shy. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right hand, left arm, right leg. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right hand, left arm, right foot, left foot. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right up, seat down.
Let us pray, then we'll be dismissed. God, our Father, Father of us all, we do praise you.